A reading from Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
And from the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, and they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord. In this hurried Gospel of Mark, Jesus moves fast from one mighty act to another, and the crowds around him grow larger and larger. The people around Jesus appear desperate, as so many people we know yearn for the kind of healing God offers, not just the restoration to good health, but also for a sense of wholeness and peace. We're only in the second chapter of Mark's gospel. Jesus' call to the first disciples was just 30 verses ago, and already Jesus has gained a wide reputation as a healer. First, he healed the man who interrupted worship in the temple with an unclean spirit. Then Jesus entered Andrew and Peter's home and healed Peter's mother-in-law. After that, Jesus tried to get away for some prayer and some downtime, but the text says Peter and his friends hunted for Jesus. They tracked him down until they found him and delivered him to the crowds throughout Galilee, among whom Jesus cast out demons and healed a leper who was begging beside the road. During this summer series, based on the gospel stories we teach our 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, among so many other occasions of restoration to health, why is today's story of the paralytic being lowered through the roof the healing story we want our children to know and to remember? It's because of the friends. Being a good friend is one of the primary ways that we love God and follow Jesus Christ. Being kind and caring and going out of our way to help someone in need. With the crowds pressing in at the door, these friends who dig through the roof to get to Jesus call all of us to remember that the life of faith is never a solitary endeavor. Ours is not a me and my God kind of spirituality. The coming of God's kingdom is always about communal transformation, about people working together to further the work of God in the world. Did you notice that Jesus did not look into the eyes of the paralyzed man and say, "Your faith has made you well"? The story goes, because Jesus saw the faith of the man's friend, he healed the paralytic in body and spirit. His sins were forgiven and he got up and walked. Now the man in our story is not paralyzed as a result of his sin, but his healing becomes an occasion to show that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker. Jesus assumes the role of God, offering what God offers, breaking the power of sin to heal entire lives, and demonstrating that complete wholeness is Jesus' mission in the world. Not just for individuals, but for the healing of human society. Anne Lamott's metaphor rings true to the story about Jesus when she wrote, "The world sometimes feels like the waiting room of an emergency ward. And we who are more or less okay for now need to take the tenderest possible care of the more wounded people in the waiting room until the healer comes. You sit with people," she said. "You bring them juice and graham crackers." The four friends of the paralytic in our story understood this. Their paralyzed friend needed their help to get to Jesus and to the restoration he offered. The early church understood this too. That to access the healing power of God, people needed the help from followers of Jesus. In the very beginning, as Christianity began to take hold and spread from Galilee throughout the world, the earliest disciples simply opened their homes to people in need, to travelers in need of a place of rest, to the local poor in need of food, to the sick in need of hospitality. These words, hospitality, hospice, hotel, hospital, are all derived from a single word familiar to these early believers that means of a guest. The early church inherited from our Jewish forebears the notion which affirms any ministry of hospitality is the good work of God's people. For us, it is an extension of Jesus' own healing ministry. during the 4th century after Emperor Constantine gave his political support to the Christian faith, public resources flowed into the church, increasing its responsibility for the well-being of society. Interestingly, a significant testimony to the Christian witness came from a hostile source, the Emperor Julian, in 362 AD. In an attempt to reestablish the Hellenic religion of gods and goddesses in the empire after Constantine, Julian instructed the high priest of the Hellenic faith to imitate Christian concern for strangers. Julian wrote, "Why do we not observe that it is their benevolence to strangers, their care for the graves of the dead, and their pretended holiness of their lives that have done the most to increase their number of believers? For it is disgraceful that, when no Jew ever has to beg, and the impious Christians support not only their own poor, but ours as well, all persons see that our people lack aid from us." Then the Emperor Julian demanded, "Teach those of the Hellenic faith to contribute to the public service of this Christian sort." Well, Julian's attempts to recover a polytheistic religion were no match for the charity of the church by the end of the 4th century. By then, the Christian community had established hospitals to care for strangers, particularly poor strangers who had no other resources. The first hospital to receive substantial attention in the literature of the time was founded by Basil, the Bishop of Caesarea, in 370. In response to enormous suffering caused by a severe famine, Basil gathered the poor victims of the famine to supply them with food he was able to collect from his own congregation. And he also led them also to care for the sick with physical support. In a eulogy for Basil at the time of his death, the hospital he established was described as a storehouse of piety and the finest wonder in the world. A place where those decimated by disease could have a city of their own, no longer objects of hatred and exclusion because of their illness. The gospel challenged the church then, and the gospel urges the church now, to recognize that God works through the friends of people, so that persons affected by illness and disease are not isolated and alone, but live in the embrace of supportive community. And those of us who are able act as agents of healing. We carry people in need to what Jesus has to offer. My friend Bob Dunham retired last month as the pastor of University Presbyterian Church in Chapel Hill. A few years ago, in reflecting upon this part of our Christian calling, of how we carry our friends in their need to the healing power of Jesus, Bob wrote, "We all know persons whose quiet yet substantial witness to their faith has had a profound impact on the lives of those around them. All of us have friends who are paralyzed in some way or another. And all of us have known times when we ourselves needed to be carried." And then Bob tells a personal story. "I had a conversation with my mother-in-law, Ruby Hooper, as she was beginning to slide more dramatically into the morass of Alzheimer's. She was not sleeping well, was worn out, and so the conversation was disconnected in many ways, and it was hard to say for whom it was more difficult. In those days, she was remembering her childhood, and she thought I was her brother. She kept saying the same thing over and over again. Sensing Ruby's weariness after a while, I took her by the hand. "Maybe we could have a prayer together," I said. And she looked at me plaintively and said, "I'd like that, but I don't remember how to do it." And so I said, "Then how about if I do it for the both of us?" And as I prayed, she finally drifted off to sleep. Then looking back at that moment in light of today's gospel story, Bob reflected, healing in the sense of recovery of mind and identity was not in the cards for Ruby. Yet, once delivered into the presence of Christ, who is to know when healing takes place and how? Annie Dillard once said, "I cannot cause light. The most I can do is try to put myself in the path of its beam." Sometimes, I suspect, my friend Bob concluded, that's the best we can do for others too. To put our friends in the path of the beam of light of Jesus Christ. Think about the kind of friendship that these four held with the man healed in this story. Paralysis comes in many forms, we know. Not just in the physical, there is spiritual paralysis and emotional and psychological. What a difference a friend or two can make. We are meant to be friends like that in the church, even for people we do not know. We can bring others to the place where help is available, where even our own faith can be used by God to bring healing for another. Being a friend to another in need is critically important as a way to follow Jesus Christ. Our children know that. May the rest of us never forget it. Amen.